Well, good morning. My name is Julie Alsop, and I'm one of the pastors here at Faith Community. It is a joy to be with you this morning. As we all know, it is Easter, but it's also April Fool's Day. And just to share with you, we've got different staff that work here on Sunday morning to make worship happen. I've already had two people pull April Fool's jokes on me. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm like, you know, I'm the pastor. I'm preaching this morning. I've had two people pull one over on me so far. So I wanted to share something with you just to kind of start off on a lighter note. If Jesus were to text us today, it could look something like this. Let me go ahead and explain this to you. YOLO, you only live once. Laugh out loud, just kidding, be right back. Just a little sense of humor this morning as we start out. We have been on the best road trip ever this Lenten season, and we have been with Jesus in the desert, in Jericho, and Capernaum, just to name a few of the stops that we have been on over these past 6 to 7 weeks. And today, we conclude our series on the road to Emmaus. Now, Jesus, he had spent several years ministering around the area of Galilee. And he had followers who were devoted to him. He had built relationships with these folks. And he had also performed many miracles and healings while he was in this region. And people's hope, it was found in Jesus. Their hope was in Jesus. You see, his death was not only devastating to his family and his disciples, but to his followers. All hope was lost because Jesus had died on the cross, or so they had thought. You see, on the third day, the women went to the tomb, and the stone, it had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty, and Jesus, he had risen from the dead. But not everybody knew what was happening during this time. There were some men who were walking on this road to Emmaus, and their mood was dismal. They felt hopeless. They felt discouraged. And as the two men walked, and they talked and kind of commiserated with one another, was another man who joined them on this road, and this man was Jesus. They didn't know at the time that it was Jesus, and I'd like to share just a little bit of their story with you, a little bit of this narrative, and it comes out of the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. Won't you hear these words? He then asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" This is Jesus asking. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the one visiting Jerusalem, who are the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." See, it was getting late as they were traveling on this road, and they had asked Jesus to stop and spend the night with them. And when they stopped to spend the night, they shared a meal together. We pick up in verse 30. "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he began to give it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and with those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened on their way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke bread." Jesus broke the bread. He was able to be appearing to them. I want to share a little bit of a story with you. A couple of weeks ago, some of you may know that I was not here on a Sunday morning. My daughter Olivia embarked on a road trip of sorts with some other University of Cincinnati students to visit the country of Nicaragua. And there were about 50 students who were on spring break who worked very hard to dig trenches so there could be pipes for fresh water that could be brought into the villages, things that we take for granted here in our country. The students, they worked very hard, and they bonded with each other, developed a lot of new relationships with the students that had gone with them, and they also developed relationships with those there from the local community. And every night, they worshiped and praised God, and it was an amazing experience from what she told me, and that God was surely in their midst as they served. She was due to fly in on a Saturday evening about 11:30, and one of my sons that attends UC was going to go down and pick her up at the airport since I had to be here the next morning. And being the mom that I am, some of you might be able to relate, I was tracking her flight. And I knew that she had landed in Houston, but I didn't hear from her, and I thought that was very strange. And then I tried to call her cell phone, and it went right to voicemail. And then I really started to worry. She finally called on a different cell phone around 8 o'clock that evening, and her voice was very weak. And she proceeded to tell me that she had gotten very sick, had almost 104 fever down in Nicaragua and vomiting. And I asked if she wanted to go to the ER from the airport or go in the next morning. And she said, "No, Mom, I want to go tonight." So I changed my plans and went to the airport to pick her up, and I was shocked at how ill she was. When I arrived, it took three people to get her to my car, and I was parked out front. She had traveled 3 hours by bus to get to the airport in Nicaragua, also a plane ride, a layover in Houston, and another plane ride to get home. You see, God was with her, and it was only by the grace of God that she made it home. Many of you are familiar when you go to the doctor or the hospital. One of the first things they ask is, have you been out of the country recently within the past 30 days or so? As a matter of fact, we came right from the airport. Funny how you can jump the line when you say those type of magic words. It was a night of tests, and we arrived in the ER about 12:15 in the morning. And my plan, was that once we got her admitted, that I would be able to go home, get a couple hours of sleep, and be here with you the next morning. Anybody else suffer from being Wonder Woman or Superman? Yes, I know I'm not alone out there. Both of my boys were with me that night, and my daughter-in-law as well. We broke her in that night. She is still with us. And they kept saying to me, "Mom, there's no way that you can preach in the morning." I'm like, "Oh, I'll be fine." So it was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I finally sent out the bat signal that it was not going to happen, that I was going to be here in the morning to preach. And they were able to fill in that morning for me. You see, Olivia, she had come in contact with the Shigella bacteria from something that she ate. And it had affected her entire digestive system. And it was wreaking havoc on her body, including her kidneys and her gallbladder and her pancreas. Everything was affected. And the doctors described it to me, it was angry inside of her. And as the days went on, things got worse, and we didn't quite understand they were supposed to get better. And that Tuesday was just a horrible day for her, and the pain was so intense that the doctors had come rushing in and gave her some high-powered medicine through her IV. And our concern was that she would become septic, and we just prayed desperately that that would not have happened, and it didn't. So we were both in tears at this point, and Olivia said she needed me to do two things for her, and the first was to get her back in bed. And the second was to pray over her. And I wiped my eyes, and I did the best that I could to pray aloud for her. You see, as your pastor, one of my greatest joys is to be able to pray for each of you. But it was in that moment, as a mom, that I felt your prayers and know that your prayers sustained me and they sustained Olivia. It took a few more days for the Cipro to take effect and 13 or so bags of IV fluids her to be good enough to be released. She spent 5 days in the hospital. To all of you who work in the medical field, we say thank you. Thank you. We are grateful. And for those of you who prayed for us, who sent messages and cards, know that we are grateful as well. I share this with you this morning because we're all on a road. Some of you are on the best road of your lives. Others are on a road where you're not sure where you're going, and you feel a little lost. For some, it's a dark and scary road. Some of you are facing a fork in the road, and you're not sure which direction to go. And some of you are on a road that you're just keeping your steady pace and moving forward. Today, we celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. He died, and 3 days later, rose again. Scripture tells us that those who believe in him will have eternal life. You see, Jesus not only offers us eternal life, but the promise to be with us in this life. Amen? Amen. I had the privilege of visiting the Holy Land in January and got to visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the tomb of Jesus. This is a photo. You can see what the outside on the left. Inside of that is actually the tomb of Jesus, and it was pretty amazing to be able to touch that slab where he laid. And then there's a big church that is built around that. You can kind of see it in the background, and the front is what the front of that looks like. And then in that church area, I took a picture of a door that I think sums up today pretty well. He is not here, for he is risen. Today we celebrate that Jesus is risen. And just as he was with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he is with us today on the roads that each and every one of us are traveling. The good roads and the hard roads, the ones with the potholes and the detours and the twists and the turns. Jesus was with the two men the whole time on the road to Emmaus, but they didn't know it until their eyes were opened. As you receive the good news this day, may your eyes be opened to see that God is with you. Part of our community room is used for Sunday school on Sunday morning. It's a large group space for the children, and there's two chalkboards in the community room, and they say God sightings on those. And each morning, the kids talk about where they see God at work in their lives and all around them, and they write little things on the chalkboard of things that they see God. You see, as we claim the presence of God in our lives through the power of the resurrection, let us see him, let us name him, and let us speak the God sightings in our lives. We have so much that we can learn from the kids. You see, our best road trip ever doesn't end today. It just begins. To God be the glory. You see, today we celebrate Easter, the biggest God sighting ever. If you are new or visiting with us today, I encourage you